Amen. You may be seated. Our children for children of God. Who's got children of God this morning? Miss Joanne. Hey, kids, if you want to come on up front for just a second before you go with Miss Joanne, I want to share a little something with you. Come on up.
She's not crazy.
She is. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. Come on up, gather around. We're just going to talk about the lesson a little bit this morning before Miss Joanne gets started and you guys have a bunch of fun downstairs. Do any of you know what book of the Bible your parents and your grandparents are studying up here on Sunday mornings? Revelation. What book of the Bible is that? The very last, right? Very last book of the Bible. Well, I just want you to know that this morning, when they get the lesson, they're going to hear about a very special lady. And this lady has a very special purpose on the earth. And that purpose is to bring a very special child to the earth. And the next thing that they're going to learn about is a dragon. A red dragon with 12 heads and 10 horns. And that dragon is going to be at battle with that child for the entire history of the earth. So when you guys are on your way home in the car this afternoon, get your parents to tell you about the dragon. Okay, you can go with Miss Joanne. You all don't know. There's dragon on them coming from the top. There's a crazy lady with a mask on in the back. Open your Bibles to the 12th chapter of Revelation is where we will be studying today. I have more slides than I have ever brought to the stage before. I thought I was carrying an encyclopedia up here with me this morning. Part of that is that the 12th chapter of Revelation, which I've entitled The Woman of the Apocalypse, is fairly straightforward. Pastor Tom has brought us lots of imagery, lots of different messages, lots of different symbolism. And in the 12th chapter of Revelation, John is given a sign. And the sign is not to be something that he saw happen on earth. It's not to be real. It is a sign of what has and will happen. And we're going to go through quite a bit. Before I talk to you a little bit about it, I want to just go ahead and read the 12th chapter. It's 17 verses, so we're going to read through that. If I get lost with the slides, please bear with me. Reading from chapter 12, and I'm using New King James Version, verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great and fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that she should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So the great dragon was cast out. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast out." And they overcome him. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having a great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon had spewed out of its mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. May God bless the reading of his word. Verse 1, now a great sign appeared. This is first of seven signs that we're talking about in this middle section of Revelation. As John explains, and as he described a great sign. In the Hebrew is megasemion, great sign. In Revelation 12, the main figures of the great tribulation are described. And this great sign enters the first of the signs, the woman. The woman represents the nation of Israel. In your insert, I have for you some underlined questions. Follow along with those. But also, there are some reference verses in there. Those reference verses for you to check out later go back to prophecies of old and other times in the Bible where you see the nation of Israel referred to as a woman. A woman clothed with the sun. Because John plainly said this is a sign, we don't expect this a woman to appear literally on earth. God will use this sign to communicate something to John and to us. Women very often represent religious systems in Revelation. A woman clothed in the sun, scripturally, this woman clothed with the sun should be identified as the nation of Israel, according to Joseph's dream, as referenced in Genesis 37, 9 through 11. In that dream, the sun represented Jacob, the moon represented Joseph's mother, Rachel, and the 11 stars were the sons of Israel, which bowed down to Joseph. In this sign, the 12 stars, Joseph is now among them with the tribes of Israel. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. Being with child, later in the chapter, it's clear that this child born of Israel is Jesus. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. She cried out in labor and pain to give birth. The pain that they're describing describes the travails of the nation of Israel at the time of Jesus' birth. Another sign appeared in heaven. Again, we're reminded that this is a sign. The creature here was not literal, a great fiery red dragon, but the dragon represented the nature and character. His description symbolically suggests his fierce power and his murderous nature, a picture of the fullness of evil and all of its hideous strength. Seven diadems on his seven heads. This dragon had great power. The diadems represent the power, the authority that was given to him. The crown represents his presumptive claims of royal authority. The beast wants to be considered a king. And another sign appeared. He drew his tail, a third of the stars of heavens. Many believe this scribes one third of the angelic host of heaven who have joined in league with the fallen angel Satan. This army of angelic beings in league with Satan makes up the world of the demonic spirits. To devour her child as soon as it was born, the attempt to devour the child was initially fulfilled by Herod's attempts to kill Christ Jesus at birth. See Matthew 2, 16 through 18 as it shows in your notes. It was also fulfilled throughout Christ's life. Life as Satan attacked him on earth. See John 8, 58 and 59 and Mark 4, 35 and 41. In verse 5, she bore a male child who was to rule. This refers to Jesus' birth. To rule all nations with a rod of iron refers to the triumphant return of Jesus. By starting the starting point and ending the ending point of Jesus' earthly world, John gives us a vision that includes everything that stood in between those times. In verse 6, then the woman fled into the wilderness. Persecuted by the dragon, the woman is protected by God in her prepared place for 1,260 days. Some believe this place in the wilderness is the rock of city of Petra, south of the Dead Sea. Reportedly, Christian businessmen have stocked this place with food and evangelistic tracts written in Hebrew. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. At the midpoint of the Great Tribulation, God will turn the tide against Satan. First in heaven and then on earth, a battle will take place that will deny Satan access to heaven. This is truly a battle between equals. The dragon represents Satan, and Satan is not the counterpart of God. God has no counterpart. If anyone, Satan is the counterpart of Michael, the archangel, who is represented to be the chief of the angels. So Satan, as it said before, drug away one third of the angelic host. Those demons, those fallen angels now are with him in battle against Michael and the remaining two-thirds of the angels in heaven. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. There's an important part there that shows us that up until this point during the Great Tribulation, that those fallen angels have access to heaven. Satan has access to heaven where he continually accuses us before God. This single verse uses many titles for our spiritual enemy, including dragon, serpent of old, the devil, Satan, he who deceives the world. This title describes Satan as a vicious, an accuser, and an adversary, and a deceiver. And when defeated, he was cast to earth. The Bible throughout describes four different falls of Satan. Here in Revelation is the second of these four falls. The first fall that we talk about with Satan was the fall from being glorified to being profane. And you can find that in Ezekiel 28, 14, 16. The second fall is from having access to heaven to being restricted to the earth, as shown in Revelation 12. The third fall will be from the earth to bondage in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. We'll see that later in Revelation 20. And then the fourth and final fall will be when God casts them from the pit to the eternal lake of fire. In Luke 10, 18, Jesus said, I saw Satan falling like a star from heaven. This refers either to the first fall from glorified to profane, or to the prophetic look ahead to the second fall at the midpoint of the seven-year tribulation. In verse 10, it says, then I heard a loud voice in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of God and the power of Christ have come. for the accuser of our brethren has been cast down. Verse 11, and they overcame him, how? By the blood of the Lamb. Even the battle that happens in heaven between angelic hosts and fallen demons is won through the blood of the Lamb. Verse 13, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings and protected, and half time from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed out water from his mouth like a flood, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Some of the symbolism that's discussed here is the possibility of great armies sent to do battle. Some of the great tribulations, some of the great pestilence that's going to come on earth, and the protection that's given to the nation, to the child. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. Satan was enraged with the nation of Israel, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep his commandments. This is us. This is those people who have chosen Jesus Christ as their Savior. He no longer has access to heaven. He's mad. He's angry. He knows his time is short, and he's taking it out on us. Where we have gotten to and where we've concluded in our study of the book of Revelation is, are you ready? And just like the angel Michael, the archangel, and the battle that happened, their readiness was in the blood of Jesus. So are you ready? Are you covered in that blood? Now, we've talked about a lot of symbols. Tom has given us many symbols that we've gone through. I gave you a couple of the symbols and signs today in chapter 12. I want to talk to you a little bit about a sign that you might be a little bit more familiar with. A little symbol that some of you might know something about. And I want to tell you a story about a man that I met almost 30 years ago, and his name was John Scalino. John Scalino was an avid baseball supporter and an umpire, and he was a professor, and he was a teacher of baseball. And John Scalino would travel around the nation, and he would give, he would do different speeches, and he would be at different conferences to teach men about the game. And John Scalino, very famously one time, came out to talk to one of these groups of a couple thousand baseball guys. I know it's odd getting baseball from me. It's usually a football analogy. But I do know baseball. I did coach it. I did umpire softball anyway for 20 years. So John Scalino came out to do this conference one time. And when he came out to do the conference, he had this hanging around his neck. Full size. Hanging around his neck. And he talked for about 30 minutes before mentioning it. And he just talked about baseball and things that happened in baseball and things that went on. And then he said, oh, yeah. He said, and I have this. And when he started talking about this symbol, what is it, by the way? Home plate. Okay, so we got some baseball guys here. We got some dads that have coached their sons. We've got some folks maybe that have coached further than that. I know Aiden plays some baseball. Aiden, how wide is that plate? Anybody know? I heard 18. 17 and a half. We're getting close. 17 inches. 17 inches wide. Home plate is 17 inches wide. Do you know how wide it was back in Babe Ruth's day? Back when baseball was getting started? 17 inches. How wide is it for softball, for girls' softball? 17 inches. How wide is it in Little League? 17 inches. Junior high? High school. Minor leagues? Pro baseball. 17 inches. And they teach pitchers to throw the ball to cross that plate 17 inches wide. And what happens in the major leagues when a guy comes up to pitch and he can't throw the ball inside 17 inches? If he can't throw the ball over the plate, what happens? They send him to Pawtucket or Schenectady or Rochester, New York. What they don't do is they don't make that 17 inches any wider. If they have a guy that can throw the ball 110 miles an hour, but he can only get it in 19 inches, they don't widen the 17 inches. The 17 inches is real, and it's true. It's the truth. You know, what happens if you take that plate and you turn it upside down? Kind of looks like a home. Kinda. I said kinda. In your home, how are you handling the 17 inches? I know you've set up rules and regulations for your children. I know that you hold them to certain standards with some things, whether it's telling the truth, whether it's attending school, whether it's their responsibility for what they do with their homework. Are you holding 17 inches in your home? Or are you widening the plate? Or are you letting them get away with those ones that are just a little outside? What about our schools? Are we holding them to 17 inches? Or are they dictating to us? Do we have children in our schools that are allowed to choose which bathroom they want to go into? You know, we got a phone call from the school the other day, and it was so upsetting. Talked to our daughter, Tracy, and she had got a call about some paperwork that needed to be filled out for one of our grandchildren. And in the questionnaire, you know, they used to ask you some questions about how old you were, what sex you were. Well, the questions now are, what sex is this person? Well, the person is a female. The next question is, what sex do they associate? What sex do they think they are? And then the next question is, what is their sexual preference? Are we holding our school system to 17 inches, or are we allowing them to widen the plate? What about our government? What about our government? Are we holding them to 17 inches? We're 17 inches. Is the truth and it's real? Are we allowing the plate to be widened? Are we allowing millions of babies to be murdered for convenience? Are we allowing the plate to be widened? Some of those things we don't have a whole lot of control over, but we need to control what we can. What about here? This one hits a little closer to home. There's a standard that's been set in here for how you live your life, for what a marriage means. As a church, Are we holding 17 inches? Or are we allowing the plate to be widened? You know, there's a big problem with widening the plate. John Scalino said, the problem with widening the plate is you keep chipping away at it until it ends up being upside down. And if you've ever looked at the back of home plate, it's completely black. And that's the future of what happens to a home, to a school, to a government, or to a church that allows the plate to be widened. Stick to the standard. Hold the 17 inches. Don't allow the plate to be widened, or you end up in the black abyss. And as we study Revelation, you have to understand what John gave us in Revelation was a glimpse to what is going to happen to this earth at the end. And the only way to maintain the standard is to cover it in the blood of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, black abyss is the future. Let's pray. Our Father, we praise you and we thank you this morning. We thank you, Father, for the worship that's happening here this morning, Lord. We thank you for the voices lifted to praise the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just ask now that you continue to bless us, Father, that you continue to let us understand Revelation, Lord. And you help us, Father, to know that we need to maintain the standard. Let us know, Father, that we need to hold the 17 inches, Lord, not widen the plate. Father, we ask now that you guide us, that you help us. And Lord, we ask that if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that you would press upon their heart right now, Father, the importance to make that decision. And Father, now we enter a time of prayer for the needs of those in the church and the requests that we have as Pastor Tom leads our intercessory prayer.